The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Trinity is written in Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 1 John chapter 4. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by angels to Abraham's side. The rich man died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sermon for the first Sunday after Trinity is based upon the Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter, where Jesus tells the parable of a so-called rich man who was clothed in fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. While poor Lazarus laid at the rich man's gate and desired to be fed with what fell from his table. And after Lazarus dies and is carried by the angels to Abraham's side in heaven, Jesus eventually has Abraham say to the rich man, who wishes to warn his brothers about the torments of hell, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." Thus far the text. Most people are familiar with the phrase, "The rich get richer and the poor get poorer." Although it is most likely the poor who begrudgingly say such a phrase as a curse upon the rich, it's interesting, though, that it's those same who curse the rich who wouldn't pass up on a check being handed to them worth $1 million. Some might even say to such an act as a check of $1 million, "Is that all? That isn't going to last very long." The Lord Jesus said something similar to the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer when in the parable of the talents he proclaimed, "For to everyone who has, more will be given and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken." Jesus seems to make the same point by telling a different parable in the Holy Gospel text for today. Jesus' words, however, are not meant to be secularized into some worldly cliche. "The devil, the world, and your sinful nature will go on and do what they want," taking things out of context and not discerning God's word spiritually. There are two men in this parable. One is not even given a name. He is simply called a certain rich man. He wears the finest clothes and eats the best meals. The other man is a beggar. He is hungry, and his skin is covered with sores. There could not be a greater contrast between the haves and the have-nots. But there is a twist to this parable, and this twist is the spiritual discernment part that is the aim of the parable. The second part of the parable, as Jesus explains it, has both men dying, and it is revealed that what seemed to be wealth, security, and happiness in the eyes of the world, and judged by your sinful flesh, was nothing more than an illusion. The so-called rich man was, in fact, poor. He may have had plenty of trinkets and gadgets, but they wore out. He had wealth and temporary luxuries, but they are now useless. The so-called rich man amassed treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, forsaking the true treasures of the kingdom of God. For where his treasure was, there was his heart, and his heart was with the created things, instead of with the Creator. The spiritual poverty of the so-called rich man becomes quite apparent, for look at how the table turns. On earth, He paraded around, showboating his trust in his wealth for all to see. Look at me, I'm keeping up with the Joneses. But when sin exacts its wages in death, he is horribly humiliated. For the emptiness of what he trusted in is now displayed. He becomes the example of how not to live. Now he is too poor to even buy a thimble of water, too poor to hire transportation to go the distance that he thinks separates him from Abraham's bosom. He's too poor to engage a messenger to warn his brothers of what is to come unless they forsake the path that leads to the so-called rich man's fate. Now consider the beggar. In the eyes of the world, his life was useless and worthless. He wore rags. He ate probably things that we can't even imagine. His festering wounds were licked by dogs. He was despised, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. He was laughed at. People wagged their heads at him. He was rejected by his own people, the smug, the well-to-do, the spiritually arrogant. And yet this beggar was truly rich in spite of appearances and in spite of the sinful world's erroneous conclusions. What the beggar lacked in trinkets, in gadgets, in wealth and luxuries, what he lacked in wasteful indulgence, in trust in his own possessions, he didn't make up for with his faith. He made up in what his faith was focused upon. For in that, the beggar had everything. The beggar is revealed as a believer. For after his death, he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. In no other way can you be carried but to be a believer. With eyes of sinful flesh, you are given a vision of a loser, a man seeming to be cursed of God, a person to be ignored or even trampled upon or driven by. But with the eyes of faith, to you is revealed a man wealthy beyond all measure, Son of God, an heir of all things, a man whose treasure not only was in heaven, but is in heaven, for that is where believing, baptized body and souls reside forever. The rich get richer, and the poor get poorer. To him who has, more will be given. To him who has not, even that will be taken away. Of course, this strikes your self-serving flesh as terribly unfair. Why doesn't God have a more Marxist approach and take from him who has to share with him who has not? Why doesn't God allow the so-called rich man's brothers to be warned? Why didn't God intervene in the life of the so-called rich man to prevent him from the torments he suffers now? or did he? The Lord addresses this in the resounding conclusion of the parable. For God indeed did warn the so-called rich man, as he warns the whole world. For God's messenger, the Reverend Father Abraham, tells the so-called rich man, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." All the world has been warned not to be deceived by transient worldly riches, by all that glitters, by the passing things of this world. Not to be misunderstood, the material things are not bad in and of themselves. In fact, the Lord called all creation good at creation, but they become bad when they are misused, when instead of serving you and your neighbor, they master you and become false gods, becoming impediments to God's kingdom. The so-called rich man was so distracted by and focused on the shiny things of this world that he spent a lifetime ignoring the calling of God's word. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but the so-called rich man would not hear. Instead of mammon serving him, he was mastered by and chose to serve mammon instead of his neighbor. God, who desires not the death of sinners, but the salvation of all, so earnestly desired to take this man back into paradise, into Abraham's bosom, but the so-called rich man would not. The so-called rich man protests to Father Abraham, "But if one goes to his brothers from the dead, they will repent." And Jesus delivers the spiritually discerned punchline through the mouth of Father Abraham. "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead." Those blinded by riches, those who turn God's good and gracious created things into idols, those who are mastered by and then serve their own bellies instead of their neighbors, will neither be convinced by the Holy Scripture nor by the historic reality of the empty tomb. Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord mercifully gives you a warning here. A warning, mercifully. That's not law. That's love. You're here to receive love, not to tune out, not to think about better things that you have to do, not to leave because you're serving right now, thinking that it merits you something. The Lord mercifully gives you a warning here. God's Holy Scripture is serving you right now. The so-called rich man is an example for all to see. Beware of the devil, the world, and your sinful natures tempting you with the stuff of this world. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. Indeed, But now, in these last days, he has spoken to you by his Son. God, given faith in the merits of Christ's atoning sacrifice for you for the forgiveness of your sins, is of infinitely more value than anything the world can ever give. Any one of you can lose every one of your material possessions in the blink of an eye. Talk to the earthquake survivors. Talk to the tornado survivors, hurricane survivors, tsunami survivors. But no calamity, by whatever disaster, can take away God's holy baptism of you. Nothing can negate the truth of God's word. Christ builds his church upon the confession of his atoning sacrifice, and the gates of hell shall not overcome it. The message of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is changeless. Yet even if the world mocks you, ignores you, you have a treasure beyond compare. Hear what Jesus meant spiritually. You, who have been blessed with God's gift of repentant, justifying faith, who have received God's holy baptism, who continue to receive his holy absolution, his proclaimed word, and his body and blood, you will indeed be richer. For the Lord is lavish. He shares all that he has with those whom he loves and those who love him. But those so-called rich, according to the world's materialistic standards, according to your sinful flesh's vain, hungry idolatry, those who fall for the devil's ongoing lie of not needing the merits of Christ's atoning sacrifice, those so-called rich are not only already poor, but they will indeed become poorer. Your friends, your riches are in heaven, and yet over and over they come to you by God's holy word and holy sacraments. By the grace of God, continue to hear Moses and the prophets, for they have good news for you and many riches to bestow upon you. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. Hear the word of God and keep it, which means keep hearing it. Enjoy the things of this world that are here to serve you, including your neighbor who is here to serve you, just as you are here to serve your neighbor. Enjoy this while knowing where your true treasure lies, for that is what brings you to serve. This is the perfect love that casts out fear. This is how you are first loved, that you would then go love and serve your neighbor. Rejoice in the riches of the sumptuous feast laid before you each week in God's divine service to you. By the grace of God, remember your baptismal treasure that cleanses your sin-inflicted wounds and gives you riches on top of riches. By the grace of God alone, you are brought to trust alone in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. You who believe are credited with Christ's righteousness, and thus you are rich, and indeed you get richer as you have and are about to, now and unto eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.